Wow, I wish I could find something that good on television at my house. Excellent. Good job tonight. Give them another big hand. Yeah, thank you all for all that work that you put into it. Wow, it's nice to be able to see you up close here. That's great. What a blessing. How many of you remember the 50s? Come on, be honest. There you go. I was barely alive in the 50s, but I have to be honest, I don't remember anything about it. I was too young, but anyway, any of y'all remember the 50s? No, nobody up here? No, you weren't born in the 50s, that's right. Okay, even these people weren't born in the 50s over here either, in the old section. So, you know, I think about the 50s and as time goes on, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the whatever as you call those first years of the 2000s and the ones we're getting ready to finish up here in just another week or so. And it made me think about a verse. Actually, Brother Jim beat me to the verse this morning in the Lord's Supper. And I was telling him after, he said he stole my thunder. But I said, that's all right, I'm just going to build on what you shared. Because the verse that I was thinking about was the verse he shared in the Lord's Supper. Galatians chapter 4, and it talks about time, particularly in verse 4. In verse 4 of Galatians 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. It says a lot more than that, and He shared a lot more than that this morning. But I just want to really kind of focus in on that little bit in a couple of minutes here as we wind up our time together tonight. This idea of the fullness of time. The fullness of time, the completion of something that God had in mind. God's calendar, God's plan, God's timetable. They sang a song about the prophecies. That was good. Good job on that song. Prophecies about a Savior, a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Conqueror, a Hero, a Peacemaker, a Lover, a Liberator. Beginning all the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, in verse 15, when God promised Adam and Eve that one was going to come and He was going to crush the head of the serpent. So it had been roughly 4,000 years. And God's plan and God's purpose was coming together. Everything was ready. The fullness of time had come. Everything was in place. Everything was prepared. Everything was ready. Every detail was coordinated. It was God's time. Everything was just right. You know, the Roman Empire was in control of the civilized world at that time. They brought relative stability to the world through their government and their army. They had a road system that went throughout the Roman Empire, which would make it very practical for the gospel message, the good news of the Lord Jesus, to be spread throughout the known world. There was a common language of Greek that people understood, and they would be able to take this new message and to share it. Everything was ready. It was the fullness of time. It's the only time that we have in the English Bible translated from the Greek, the only time that phrase is mentioned just like that in the whole Bible, in the fullness of time. In other words, when the time was just right, at the perfect time, at just the right time, and God knows just the right time, and at just the right time, when everything was in place, God acted. Not a moment too soon. Not a moment late, right on time. And what did God do? What was His action in the fullness of time? His action was to send His Son. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son. His Son. Well, that word sent forth really carries the idea of sending away. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, together without beginning. Not in a body. No, He would come and be born of a woman. not limited to time or space, but Jesus, the Son, would be willing to come and to be born in time and space. And the Father consciously, willfully, purposefully sent away His Son to be born of a woman, the incarnation, the Christmas story, that He would come into what the Bible calls the lowest parts of the earth, into the womb of the Virgin Mary. What humility, what love, what grace, that in the fullness of the times, at just the right time, God would send forth His Son, and that His Son would willingly come at just the right time. And can I say that it was just the right time for you? It was just the right time for you. It was just the right time for you and you and me and all of you. It was just the right time. God knew exactly what His plan was. And we can't explain that plan in the sense of His timing. We might have thought, why didn't He do it 4,000 years earlier? But God knew the precise time in the Lord Jesus came to be born there and placed in that manger, that He might live that life of perfection, a life that we could not live, a life that God had required from us, but we failed miserably from the very beginning. We were sinning, separated from God. The Lord Jesus never sinned. He went to that cross willingly, consciously, purposefully, just as He had been sent to this earth. The one who was perfectly right, had never done anything wrong, to come and die on behalf of the ones who had done many things wrong, us. He took our place, the just for the unjust, with the purpose of bringing us to the one who had sent Him, to bring us to God. And it was just the right time. Maybe you remember back in your life, if you believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, maybe you can look back in your life and you can see it, just that right time when God intersected your life and He convicted you that you were a sinner, and you are a sinner, and you're guilty before God, and He showed you there's nothing that you could do to make things right with Him. There was nothing within your own ability, no matter how hard you tried, no matter how much you cared, no matter how well you meant it, you weren't able to do that. There was nothing that could bring you back to God. You've been separated by your sin. I've been separated by my sin. Our eternal destiny was separation from God in the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. The wages of sin, the Bible is very clear, is death. He showed us our need. He showed us our only hope at just the right time. At just the right time. And I trust tonight that you have had that right time in your life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's the right time. Maybe God has brought you here tonight that you could, for the first time or for the 1,000th time, hear again the gospel message, the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. And if we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will receive Him as our Savior, we will be saved. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus, that's not the end of the gospel. That's not the end of the good news, not at all. But you see, God is always on time. And God knows what time it is in your life right now. Whether you have believed on His Son as your Savior, you have not. If you have not, He knows that this is the time that you need to bow your heart to the Lord Jesus and receive Him and trust Him alone as your Savior. But you may have believed on the Lord Jesus, and yet you still may be in a time of need. You may still be in a time of trouble, a time even of desperation, a time of weakness, a time of hopelessness and helplessness. And you know, it's interesting that in this passage we read in verse 4 that when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son. And then two verses later, we read that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The same one who sent the Son at just the right time. Also, at that moment we believe on the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Son, who has been sent into the world, enters us. And He's there to encourage us, to comfort us, to teach us, to convict us, to rebuke us, to open up the Scriptures to us, to help us to see the Lord Jesus. So whether you were born in the 50s or the 60s or the 40s or the 30s or the teens or whenever you were born, God said, I sent my Son for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. What a great message. Thank y'all tonight for reminding us of that message, for portraying that so beautifully and singing that from your hearts. We are so thankful for what you've done. We appreciate it so much. And Stephen and Mary, all y'all have done, and others working with you. Thank you for being here tonight. We'd love to talk with you more about these things in Galatians 4 and in the Scripture. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to interact with you as we have some refreshments in just a few moments down the hall. And I'm going to pray, and then after that, the ushers are going to come, and they're going to share some treat bags with everybody that's here for you to take home, and nuts and fruits and candies, and you can enjoy that tonight or all through the Christmas season, or you can re-gift it if you want to. But just as you leave this room, take a right, and then we'll be down, I believe, two doors on the left, and the refreshments will be there, and we invite you to stay and enjoy that together. So I'll pray, and then those who are going to distribute the treat bags for us, they'll come and take care of that. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for our program tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the timelessness of the message of salvation. Lord, we know that whatever time we may live in, and Father, the time that we do live in, we know that everyone of all time has the same basic issue. It's the issue of sin that separates us from You. The One who made us, the One who loves us, the One who designed us to have a relationship with You for all eternity, an unbroken relationship. And Lord, we confess we have gone our own way like sheep. Father, we thank You for searching us out. Thank You for sending Your Son, the Good Shepherd. Thank You that He was born at just the right time, not a day too early, not a day too late. And Lord, even though we don't know the exact date when He was born, we thank You for that day. And we thank You for that day that He went to the cross of Calvary and took our punishment and died for our sins. We thank You for that day that He was placed in the grave. And Father, oh, how we thank You for that day when He rose again from the dead, declaring that He had defeated death and hell and the grave. And Father, we look forward now to the day when the Lord Jesus will return for us. Father, thank You for these young people and adults and the work that they have put into this program. Thank You, Father, for these family and friends and ones here from Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and the community that have come out tonight to enjoy this. Lord, speak to our hearts. Continue to use Your Word as we meditate on Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank You for these treat bags and the ones who have worked hard to put them together. Thank You for those who have bought refreshments for us and coordinated things tonight, cooked and brought them in. And thank You, Lord, that we can fellowship and enjoy this together. Thank You for the Christmas season. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, those are going to distribute those if they could come in. This is an annual treat that we are able to be blessed with. We thank the ushers and others who work with them and coordinate putting this together as they get the nuts and the fruits and the candies and bag them up. And they're going to be coming out and sharing those with you. So just hang on and you'll get that. And then once you get that, and if you want to greet the cast members here, we'd love for you to do that. And then head on down the hallway. They should be ready. We appreciate them getting that. We're right on time. So thank you. Merry Christmas. And I'd love to see you back on Wednesday night if you'd like to be here for our Christmas night service.